So your types of entrepreneurship could be in so many models. You know, they could be, as I said, they could be for profit, not for profit. They could be traditional businesses. They could be, your online businesses. It could be your large corporations also having, social enterprise missions. Large corporations also, involved in CSR. So entrepreneurship, whether social entrepreneurship or traditional entrepreneurship, can have multiple models when we're going to be talking about strategy in a lot more detail, and business models in a lot more detail. We're going to see how this is actually various models work for different people, different communities, different countries, and for different agendas and core goals which are there. So when we're talking about entrepreneurship, some very important concepts which have taken hold in the recent years are that, one, it is being given a lot of visibility so that there is credible data and credible evidence for people to be influenced. Now, someone might say, oh, well, why bother doing this healthy practice? Does it really make a difference? Or why, they talk about plastic and this and that, but does it really make a difference? I'm going to go ahead and use my single-use plastic or whatever else. But and over, when you hear lectures and talks and all, at the end of the day, it's not, a lot of people just get bored. That it's it's just, information which is being thrown at us. Now, what has happened in the recent past that a lot of documentaries, a lot of films have been made at a global level, which have received a lot of recognition at various awards also. And what these films do is not, I mean, forget about whether they're commercial successes or not, but these films and documentaries do a lot of research and show that evidence in a way for people to wake up and say, oh my God, this is not something which is theoretical. I mean, if we take the example of, Al Gore, the former US vice president, and the work that he has done when he was trying to, get people to buy into the fact that this is what the disaster which could be awaiting the globe if global warming is not taken care of. A lot of the things in his documentary, which I'll be touching on more later, a lot of those things have actually happened and happened sooner than one predicted they would happen. So when you have credible evidence in the face of people, that is something which is a very, very strong and healthy trend for the future of entrepreneurship, because it shows people these things are not theoretical. These things are, very likely to happen, or can we counter them? Oh, then, if they're going to happen, they're going to happen. But there are social enterprises which have managed to combat things, movies about them, documentaries about them, which show what they have done, how they have made it possible, which makes people say, oh, it is an effort worth making. So this kind of visibility through collaborations, through innovations, showing it to the world is very important. So for example, there's a Portuguese film which translated to English is called Who Cares? And it basically, of course, is talking about, the impact of consumerism and, what's happening to the planet. And this has won the DC, this has won an award at the DC Film Festival. And it has been very, very popular. So perhaps people could check online, even if it's available in India. I have not seen it yet. But the fact that sitting in India, also I'm aware of this, the fact that a prominent film festival has given it that recognition is a very healthy element for how we can view this entire sector and how we can hope to contribute to the future of this social enterprise. Now, also some of the other concepts coming in when we are talking about formalizing this sector in the current times, there is a concept of B Labs or B Corporations. B stands for benefit. Now, there are certain corporations, which have gone and got themselves a B certificate, B Corporation certificate. getting a B Corporation certificate means you are operating in a sustainable manner. You are operating in a sustainable manner in terms of where you are sourcing from, what you are producing, what you are selling out, how you are employing, how the equity is happening in terms of your various other policies, how you are contributing to the people and the planet. So it is something which is becoming a very formal concept, which also gives credibility and a good foundation to social enterprises to get participation and partnerships from people who can help them. Now, giving you an example, when I'm talking so much about the positives of social enterprise, I should also mention the learnings which can come from social enterprise. Like with any form of enterprise, social enterprise can also be flawed. There can also be issues in the way it was rolled out, but it's important that those are treated as learnings rather than failures where there is no return from. So, for example, when we talk about SKS Microfinance, now SKS Microfinance is an Indian microfinance company. Now, of course, it has changed its name. But when it initially started, it was providing microfinance to the rural communities. And it was the first entity to provide finance at interest rates of less than 20%. Because typically when people go looking for financing, they will go in, especially in the underprivileged segments and bottom of the pyramid segments of the country, they will typically go to the unorganized lender. And the unorganized lenders are extremely exploitative, and interest rates could be anything from 30 to 40 to 50%. But these people are so desperate that they had no choice but to go to them. So when SKS came in, it grew rapidly. It's catering to lakhs and lakhs of borrowers across lakhs of villages. However, something unfortunate happened a few years ago when around 2009-2010, which is, the microfinance crisis, where in the state of Andhra Pradesh, there were almost, SKS had almost 27 to 30% of its loan book only in one state. And within 1 month or 40-45 days, in the state of Andhra Pradesh, some 30-40 unfortunate women tragically committed suicide. And it turned out, the investigations revealed that they were microfinance borrowers, and it was financial, stress which drove them to this drastic step. And it is reported that 17 of those women were borrowers of SKS Microfinance. Now, of course, that led to huge learnings, that led to also RBI coming up with even further stringent regulations and monitoring systems when it comes to social enterprise. But eventually, SKS came back in a new avatar and is still, servicing the country and trying to make a positive impact. So while social enterprise, we are talking about all the goods, also social enterprise has a lot of learnings to be, taken from there. Now, in this, we don't know whether it was horrible recovery agents who stressed them out, should the employment policies be looked at, should various other factors be looked at. But all of these things lead to learnings which people can implement. So these are some of the sectors which, of course, are very significantly, catered to when it comes to social enterprise. You have, for example, going to talking about education. When we talk about, you may have heard of Malala Yousafzai. She is the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner. She is a Pakistani girl who was in Pakistan, traditional part of Pakistan, and she was very involved in promoting education for Pakistani girls. You can imagine the conservative mindset out there. And there was a lot of resistance to these camps and to education being provided for the girls, to the point where she was shot by the Taliban, shot in the head by the Taliban for promoting these education camps for women. she was taken to, this happened around 2011-12. She was flown to flown overseas and fortunately survived despite it being a near fatal attack on her, and went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Now her fund, she has a formal Malala fund, and there is a lady who has been with her since before this attack on her happened, who was involved in those camps as well, and she is helping her formally manage this fund. So people take their experiences and take them to a point where they can create a positive impact, even if the origins happened through a tragedy. So the idea is to create change. More than change, I would like you to focus on sustainable change, because you don't want overnight change. You don't want to do something which is going to create immediate change, but then not really, over a period of time, help people. So the various examples that we'll be talking of, everywhere, keep in mind that we're talking about sustainable change and not just short-time change. Now, the commitment to this social enterprise is so huge that your biggest MBA colleges domestically, globally, whether it's ISB Hyderabad, whether it's the IIMs, whether it is Harvard, whether it is Stanford, whether it is, all these colleges are now offering formal degrees and courses in social enterprise. There is something called the MBA oath, where students take this oath so that they are going to contribute to social change and to impact businesses rather than just profitability and commerce. So it is a very, very healthy change, because this is the youth which is very, very strongly invested in this commitment to change, to create positive change for people and planet. So when we're talking about this, there's this study which has shown, we'll be talking about Unlimited, which is an Indian organization which heavily supports and promotes social enterprises, whether it's through handholding them, funding them, giving them training, helping them position themselves to prospective partners, whether it is a matter of, giving them networking opportunities, etc. So their study, one of their studies cited that 60% of the world's social enterprises are 60 to 70% of the world's social enterprises are struggling to make profits, struggling to get funding for their ventures. Now, when I'm talking about make profits, I'm not talking about make profits only from a point of view of making profits for their gain, but profits to be able to run their business, pay salaries, various other costs, etc. But however, one of the healthy trends which was seen was that consumers really want to patronize organizations that are using social entrepreneurship goals. So for example, if I know that there is a company whose product I want to buy, and this company sources from an environment or suppliers who are consciously involved in people and planet, whether it's through sourcing, giving employment to underprivileged, whether it is sourcing from areas where they're contributing to the climate, whether they are, carbon net zero. If I know that the company is following all these practices, where if I know that the company is B certified, I might say I will prefer to buy this company's product versus another company's product, even if the other product is cheaper for me. So there is this conscious consumerism which is there, and almost like if you look at people within the age of 35, under the age of 35, more than 80% would prefer to go for a socially conscious company versus a company which is not that socially conscious. So all of these things are causing positive change, and the world is becoming alert and aware to it. Now, when it comes to social enterprise, positive impact doesn't have to be only for a small community, as I was saying. It can be cross-border. Not only that, it doesn't have to essentially be in your immediate own community. For example, there are communities of artisans in India which are being harnessed and supported and cultivated by people living internationally. So likewise, there are Indians who are running a lot of social enterprise projects in parts of Africa, a part of the world that I'll be talking about a lot more, because again, it is a part of the world which has a lot of inequality, has a lot of unmet need. And so it doesn't have to restrict itself to regional or state or immediate community environments, you know. It can be for regional development, it can be for global development. And we will keep seeing through examples how different models have been used, different approaches have been used, and bottom line, how people and planet have been positively impacted, okay? So now let's talk about, on a different note, we've been talking about some of the Indian entities. Let's talk about a different part of the world. So we would typically think that social enterprise is more relevant to India, South Africa, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, the developing nations, and not really about US, UK, Europe. That is not true. Inequality exists across. Needs are there across. Wherever there are humans there, needs are there. So hence, to make you understand this, that this is not a third world problem, a developing nation problem, it's a global problem. Let's look at this social enterprise, this restaurant business in New Queensway. In UK, there is a restaurant called 15 Cornwall in New Quay. Ek second, phir se shuru kar rahi hu, okay? There is a restaurant called 15 Cornwall in New Quay, which is doing something very interesting. It is taking underprivileged youth and training them to become master chefs. It is putting them through 15, 16 months intensive apprenticeship and training them to become world-class chefs. The profits that are generated from this are deployed back into the restaurant. And what is more interesting is that the youth that it is working with, these youth were previously unemployed. They were also previously dealing with suspended prison sentences, crime, drugs, coming from at-risk communities, vulnerable communities. So it was all very, very, taking them from a very dark future to a very creative, positive future. So now you see, social enterprise is not something which is a luxury of developing countries or third world countries, underdeveloped nations, but it is something which can impact anywhere across the globe. So there are so many relevant aspects of social enterprise. Now, within India itself, government agencies play a major role, but gradually the idea is that as the government steps back, the individuals, the private sector, should step in and take over. So, of course, in India, you have more than 200 million people who are living below the poverty line. Out of our population of 1.4 billion, we are a population that is growing at 1.5%, per annum. And this significant segment of the population which is below the poverty line, there are a lot of initiatives the government is taking, a startup initiative, the AIM, the Niti Aayog think tank contributes very, very heavily to, promoting and nurturing social enterprise and impact investing. So whenever I'm talking about impact in these chapters, I'm talking about your impact of creating positive social change for which communities are very important, for which collaboration is very important, whether it is collaboration from investors, whether it is collaboration from R&D, whether it is collaboration from the government, whether it is collaboration with trainers, with local grassroots people. All of these elements become extremely important. Some of the other elements of social enterprise we are going to be discussing throughout chapter and multiple other chapters. And we are going to see how innovation plays a very important role. Like some of the examples that I'm going to give you, you will, wonder like, why, who could have even imagined that that was a need? Who could have even imagined that this was an enterprise which could cater to it, you know? So these are really important. So at the end of the day, with all the various elements of social purpose, this is an enterprise which is putting purpose before profit. Having said that, and something I'm going to get into more detail in the future chapters, having said that does not mean that these entities are not making profits. They could be not-for-profit, they could be for-profit. Now, in the not-for-profit, they could be generating profit and reinvesting and redeploying all of that profit back into the venture. For example, when I was telling you about the 15 Cornwall example, they are whatever amount they are making, and they are very popular. A lot of people patronize them. They generate huge amount of income. All of that gets deployed back into the business, which is like close to hundreds of thousands of pounds, if not more, which is a very, very significant amount. So just because it is not for profit doesn't mean it's not generating profit. When it is for profit, it may be retaining some of the profit, reinvesting some of the profit. So do not confuse social enterprise with, oh, profits are not there. It's just here, profits don't come at the cost of purpose, people, and planet. Profits are secondary. The main thing is purpose, people, and planets. And then profits, of course, help these enterprises to scale up, to continue growing, and to create lasting impact, not just in their communities, but beyond those borders as well. Thank you.